بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد, so we continue with the seerah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and today we will be inshallah discussing the battle of Badr, part 14, which is the battle of Badr. But just before we start the details of the battle of Badr, in the previous session, we just a recap. We covered how some of the events that took place in the second year of Hijri. Okay. So we spoke about how the Qibla changed after 16 or 17 months after the Hijrah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed some verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, whereby Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded to face Masjid Al-Haram towards the Kaaba. And then we also spoke about the Ashab al-Suffa, and how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked after the Ashab al-Suffa. At times there were some that the Sahaba would take, and some of them would take up to 80 of them, 80 of the Ashab al-Suffa, to feed them, to assist them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made provisions for them in the masjid, and we spoke about how they had a certain area where they would stay, and they would eat from fruit that was put in the masjid specifically for them. And then we also spoke about how after the second year of Hijri, as the Muslims found the base in Medina Munawwara, the commandments increased as well. The fasting in the month of Ramadan, the Salatu Eidul Fitr, and then also Sadqatul Fitr, these became compulsory as well. And then Eidul Adha Salah and the Udhiyah, the Qurbani, and the command for Durood and the giving of Zakat also became compulsory in the second year of Hijrah. Then we also spoke about some of the expeditions and the ghazawat and the saraya, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ghazawat in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took part. So Abwa, which was the first expedition which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took part in. Then there was Bawat, and there was also Ushayra and Safwan. And these were where there was no hostilities that took place in these battles. And then we spoke about the saraya of Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu ta'ala an, who was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his sister Zainab bint Jahsh was one of the wives, the Ummul Mu'mineen, one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abdullah ibn Jahsh with a group of Sahaba, and they were given a letter, and they were told to open it after 2 days. And we mentioned how they opened it after 2 days, and then there was a skirmish that took place, and there was some booty, and this was the first spoils of war, the first spoils of war in Islam. And Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he divided it into 5 parts, and 1/5 was reserved for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they came to Medina, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they had not been given permission to fight, so they would have to wait until revelation came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in relation to the spoils of war. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, which we spoke about the last time. Okay, so this time now, we are now going to speak about Ghazwa Badr. Okay, we can see here the timeline, the second year of Hijrah. Before Badr al-Kubra, there was 4 Ghazawat which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took part in, which we just summarized now. This was the first proper battle in the history of Islam. It was the 5th expedition in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took part. The basis behind it was that in the beginning of the month of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received news that a caravan of the Quraysh was returning to Makkah Mukarramah full of goods. Okay? And they were returning from Syria, and there were either 30 or 40 men that were part of this caravan. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered the companions, and they set off to intercept the caravan, and there was no real preparation for battle. They didn't think that there was going to be a conflict or a fight or a war. Now Abu Sufyan, he was very, very clever. Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, one of the leaders of the Quraysh, he was a very, very intelligent person. He thought that the Muslims might intercept, and he anticipated the move of interception from the Muslims of the caravan. So when he got close to Arabia, to Hijaz, he started asking all the other travelers that were coming the other way about any news. And he did receive some news from the travelers that They said that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has commanded his followers to travel towards your caravan. Okay. When he heard this, he sent a person, Damdam Ghifari, and he sent him to Makkah Mukarramah, and he told him to inform them that it was time to save their wealth from Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had commanded his followers to travel towards the caravan. So Damdam, he went straight away to Makkah Mukarramah, and we see on the map here, this was the direction that he took in terms of from the border of Hijaz at the top there to Makkah Mukarramah. Whilst this was going on, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the companions on the 12th of Ramadan, they left Medina Munawwara, and the number of people in the expedition was just over 300. There are certain reports of 313, 314, 315. Okay. It was obviously the early time of Islam, remembering that going on the previous discussions that we've had, the Quraysh were the enemy of the Muslims. And they had left Makkah Mukarramah, leaving their family, their wealth and everything in Makkah, and they were now residing in Medina Munawwara. So this was the backdrop of why they wanted to intercept the caravan and take the goods from the Quraysh. At that time, it was a very difficult time. Poverty was there as well. So the whole army, there was only two horses, one that belonged to Zubair ibn Awam and the other that belonged to Miqdad radiallahu anhuma. And there were 70 camels in the army, and every three of the Sahaba, they had one camel and they would take turns. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was paired with Abu Lubaba and Ali radiallahu anhuma. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time used to come to walk, they both used to say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you carry on sitting on the camel, you can take our turn and we will walk in your place. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say to them that you are not stronger than me in walking, and I am no less of less desiring of the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he would also walk. So this was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his akhlaq, his character, his qualities. So when they reached a certain area just about 1 mile outside of Medina Munawwara, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam checked the army and he sent back those who were of young age. And there were a few Sahaba who were of young age who were sent back. And then at a certain place, Maqam Rawha, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abu Lubaba radiallahu an back to Medina to overlook and oversee the matters of the Muslims in Medina Munawwara. And Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum, who was a Sahabi who couldn't see, he was blind, he had been left in Medina Munawwara to lead the Salah. In the whole army, there was only three spears in the whole army. One belonged to Ali radiallahu anhu, one belonged to Musab ibn Umair, and a third that belonged to one of the Ansari Sahaba. And then when they reached a certain place, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent some Sahaba to get some information about Abu Sufyan's caravan, to see where they had reached, what they were doing in Badr, how far they were, and so forth. While this was going on the other side, Damdam Ghifari was on his way to Mecca, and he was to inform them of the threat that was posed to the caravan and how they should quickly come to the rescue. While this was happening, so on one side you have the Quraysh, on one side you have the Muslims leaving Medina Munawwara, and in Mecca Mukarrama, Atika, who was the daughter of Abdul Muttalib, she was the aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she saw a dream. Okay. She lived in Mecca Mukarrama, and at this point, obviously Damdam was coming to inform the Quraysh about from Abu Sufyan's side, to inform them of the caravan and to protect the caravan. So 3 days before he came to Makkah, Atika had seen a dream which frightened her, which made her scared. In the dream she saw there was a rider that came on his camel until he reached a certain place. And then he called with a loud voice that, "Oh, the people of Ghadr, leave for the place of your defeat in 3 days. And the people, they gathered around this person. He took his camel, then he went to Masjid al-Haram. Then he said the same words. He went to Jabal Abi Qubais. He said the same words on the top of the mountain. And then the rider, he threw a boulder, a rock, from the top of the mountain. And when he reached the bottom, he smashed into pieces. And there was no house in Mecca, in the dream, there was no house in Mecca in which a piece of this boulder didn't land. So every single house had a piece of this boulder in the dream. So she informed her brother, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu, at that point He wasn't a Muslim, but at that she informed her brother about the dream, and that she said that, you know, I fear that some calamity is going to come to the people of Mecca. So Abbas radiallahu an, at that point, he told her that don't mention it to anybody. When he came out of the house, he met his friend Walid ibn Utbah. And he told, Abbas radiallahu anhu told Walid ibn Utbah about the dream, who in turn told his father of the dream. And then by then, when this happened, the whole news spread in Makkah Mukarramah like wildfire. Everybody found out the dream. Okay. In one book of in Sirat ibn Hisham, Abbas radiallahu anhu says that I went into the haram in the morning to perform tawaf. So he went for tawaf in the morning. When he finished it, and he saw Abu Jahl, and Abu Jahl was sitting with a group of people, and they were discussing the dream of Atika. Okay, and when Abu Jahl, Abbas radiallahu anhu says, when Abu Jahl saw me, he said, "Oh, Abu al-Fadl, when you finish from your tawaf, then come to us." So when he says, when I finished, I went, and Abu Jahl addressed Abbas radiallahu anhu, said that your men made claims of prophethood, and now your women have also started to make claims of prophethood. Okay, so Abbas radiallahu anhu asked him that what was he talking about, and he told him that it was about Atika's dream. Okay. Then on the morning of the third day, Damdam Ghifari turned up in Mecca, and he started shouting the message of Abu Sufyan to the people, telling them, "O people of Quraysh, go and save your caravan, see it to your caravan." The Quraysh answered the call, and they went to Badr. Okay. So this was where they would see the interpretation of Atika's dream with their own eyes. So there is a difference of opinion on whether she accepted Islam or not. In one book, Ibn Sa'd, he mentions that she did, and then she migrated to Medina Munawwara. In Makkah, the Quraysh now were preparing for battle, so it created a huge disturbance. They got, you know, a lot of wealth was on the caravan. Every house in Makkah had a share in the caravan. A lot of profit was made, and everybody's wealth was under threat. Okay, and they'd all invested. So now, 1,000 fully armed men, they left Mecca under the command of Abu Jahl. And at the same time, singing women and drums, they also went, and they left Mecca full of pride and full of pomp. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بَطَرًا وَرِئَاءَ النَّاسِ. Do not be like those people who came out of their houses full of pride and showing off to people. So this is mentioned in Surah Al-Anfal. So the army of the Quraysh, all of the Quraysh leaders, except for Abu Lahab, they joined the army. He couldn't come for some reason. He sent in his place, he sent Abu Jahl's brother, As ibn Hashim. And then, and this was because the brother of Abu Jahl owed Abu Lahab 4,000 dirhams. And because he had become poor, he couldn't pay off the debt. So because he was under pressure, he accepted to join the place of Abu Lahab, you know, to join the expedition in place of the person he owed, which was Abu Lahab. Umayyah ibn Khalaf also, initially he refused to join the expedition, but then Abu Jahl insisted and he joined the expedition as well. Why did he refuse? So it comes in the narrations that Umayyah ibn Khalaf, initially when he went, he was with Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. So Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anh, he was a friend of Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh was from the Ansar, from the people of Medina. And whenever Umayyah used to go Sham, he would stop by Sa'd ibn Mu'adh's place in Medina, and he would visit Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. And whenever Sa'd radiallahu anh would go to Mecca, he would visit Umayyah ibn Khalaf. So after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Medina, one time Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he went to Mecca to perform Umrah. As was his normal practice, he stayed at his friend's house, Umayyah. And he told Umayyah that, you know, take me to perform tawaf at a time when it's quiet and when the haram is empty. So Umayyah then takes Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anh in the late morning to perform tawaf. And then they see Abu Jahl. And whilst they were performing tawaf, Abu Jahl sees them and he said, "Oh, Abu Sufyan," which was also the kunya of Umayyah, that who is this person with you? So Umayyah said that this is Sa'd. So Abu Jahl said that I am seeing that this person is performing tawaf calmly And you are giving unreligious people like these people to stay, and you are also helping them, right? So he then addressed Sa'd ibn Mu'adh and said, "Oh Sa'd, I swear by my Lord that if Umayyah was not with you, then you would not return in a proper state." Meaning he threatens him. He threatened him. Abu Jahl threatened Sa'd ibn Mu'adh that if Umayyah wasn't with you, then I would have, you know, you wouldn't return in a proper state. So Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he said in a loud voice, "If you stop me from performing tawaf, then I swear by Allah that the road from Medina to Sham, I will stop you traveling on that road." Okay, and obviously we know that this road was very, very important. This actual road that they used to take to go to Sham was very important for the Quraysh. Why? Because this was their lifeline. This is how they would get food and transport goods. So Umayyah then said to Sa'd ibn Mu'adh that don't raise your voice against Abu Jahl. He's the leader of this valley. So Sa'd radiallahu anhu said that I swear by Allah that I have heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you will die. He's saying to Umayyah that you will die at the hands of those who are beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Umayyah then became worried. He said, "Will I die in Makkah?" He became worried. So he asked Sa'd ibn Mu'adh that, "Will I die in Makkah?" He said, "This I don't know where or when you will die." So this was the prophecy of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Sa'd ibn that Umayyah was going to die at the hands of the Muslims. So Umayyah was obviously very worried, very frightened. He went and told his wife about what Sa'd said. In one narration, he even says that he even said that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Muhammad never lies. Whatever he says is the truth. So he was very, very frightened. And his intention was never to leave Makkah. "So I'm never going to leave Makkah." But when Abu Jahl told him told the people to leave for Badr, obviously Umayyah found it really hard. He was finding it really difficult because he was scared for his life. Okay, he was worried about his life. He didn't want to go. And then Abu Jahl told him that if you don't go, you're a leader. If you don't go, then other people will also think that we don't have to go. So they won't go as well. So Abu Jahl kept on insisting. And then Umayyah, he comes, and Abu Jahl told Umayyah that if you go, then I will buy you an expensive and excellent horse. Meaning that the meaning behind this was that you'll have such a good horse, if something happens to you, you can quickly get on your horse and you can quickly escape. So this was to convince him. And Umayyah went home. He told his wife that he intended to leave. So she said that, "Do you remember the words of your Yathribi brother," meaning Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, that Umayyah said that, "My intention is just to go a little bit, and then a short distance, and then I'll come back, and I'll come." But when he actually went, he left, and then he couldn't get back. He couldn't return for whatever reason it was. And then he returned, reached Badr as well, and we'll briefly discuss how he ended in a few slides. So then the Muslims now, the standard for the Muslim army was given to Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu an, Ali radiallahu an. So this standard that was given, the flag that was given to Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu an, was white in color. And then in the front of the Muslim army, there were two black flags. One was carried by Ali radiallahu anhu, and that was called Al-Uqab. And the other was being held by some of the Ansar. And we mentioned previously that three Sahaba were sharing one camel. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also sharing. And then the Muslims, they reached the Muslim army, they left Rawha and they reached Maqam Safra. Okay. Then two companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they came and told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Quraysh has left Makkah and that they prepared an army. They were sent to find out what was happening. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gathered the companions, the Muhajirin and Ansar, and he informed them that the Quraysh had left Abu Bakr, and he wanted to find out what they wanted to do. Because initially, obviously, the plan was never to fight a war. The plan was just to intercept the caravan. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the first one to speak, and he expressed his willingness to support Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever his command was. Umar radiallahu anhu stood up. Other Sahaba also spoke. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very happy with the zeal of the Sahaba and the support of the Sahaba, and gave them glad tidings. And then he told them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised me that we will be helped and be victorious over one of the two groups, either Abu Sufyan's group or Abu Jahl's group. Abu Sufyan's being the caravan, or Abu Jahl's being the army. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that he was shown the places where certain people will perish. Then we have this verse that was revealed as well. This was the promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ. When Allah promised you one of the two groups that would be yours, and you wished that the unarmed one would be yours, but Allah intended to establish the truth by His words and to eliminate the disbelievers. So this is an ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran. So Badr, if we look in this map, Badr is southwest of Medina, around 150 kilometers or 100 miles away, just under 100 miles away, as you can see. So two of the companions, Adi and Basbas radiallahu anhuma, they arrived in Badr, and they were spying on behalf of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to find out. When they reached Badr, there was a spring, they rested their camels there, they saw two women having a conversation. One of which was asking the other to repay her debt. So the woman who was being asked for the money said that after two or three days, when Abu Sufyan's caravan comes, I will pay my debt to you. When it comes from Sham, I will repay your debt then. At that point, there was a person by the name of Majdi ibn Amr. He was also there at the spring when the two women were talking. When she said that the caravan was coming in 2 to 3 days, Majdi affirmed that she was saying the truth. And he helped the one woman to convince the other woman to give a little more time to repay the debt. As soon as the two companions heard this, they got on their camel, went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that 2 or 3 days was the time that they were expecting the caravan of Abu Sufyan to come. So we see the path of the Qurayshi caravan as they were coming down. Okay, they were to go through Badr and they were to come there. The blue arrows, they showed the approximate path that the Quraysh took. And to get to Badr. Okay. When they got to Badr, Abu Sufyan asked Majdi ibn Amr that, have you seen anybody come here or go from this place? He knew that, that the interception could take place, and obviously in war you need to have spies and you need to have make sure that you have information of the other party. So Majdi said that I haven't seen anybody except for two people that came. They were sat under this mountain, they sat here, they put their camels here, and then they filled their water skin and they left. So Abu Sufyan went to the location where the two men had sat and saw some of the camel droppings. So he checked the camel droppings. When he looked inside, there was a date stone inside. So Abu Sufyan saw the date stone, he said that this is the date stone from Yathrib, obviously Medina Munawwara. So he realized that these people were from Medina. So he quickly went back to the caravan. Okay, he quickly went back to the caravan and he diverted his path, and he went on the coastal part so he couldn't be intercepted and he could avoid confrontation with the Muslims. So this was his plan, and it worked in the sense that they reached Makkah Mukarrama, and then he also sent a message to Abu Sufyan sent a message to the Quraysh saying that look, they'd been saved and the army can now return to Makkah. They don't need to go to Badr because they'd been saved and the Muslims didn't intercept them. Abu Jahl received this message. He said that we'll go to Badr, we'll feast for 3 days until then, and then we'll return to Makkah. Okay. And Akhnas ibn Shariq, who was one of the leaders of the Banu Zahra tribe, he told his tribe that we only came out to protect our wealth. So our job is done, we will go back. So they, you know, the wealth has been saved, our wealth has been saved, there's no need to fight. So they decided that to go back, and they returned back home, and they didn't take part in the battle of Badr, the Banu Zahra tribe. Okay. Now the Muslims, they reach Badr, and this was their journey. The green arrows show their path. The Quraysh did reach Badr before the Muslims, and this was the path that they took. Okay, as we can see. Okay, and they traveled north. Okay, this was about 200 miles distance. And if you look at Badr today, this is Badr today. We can see the cemetery and we can see the battlefield area. Okay, this is one of the maps. Okay. Okay. Then from this now we can see the Muslim army, which had come from the north. Okay, they set up camp. Okay. And the Quraysh, they came from the south, and the area was surrounded by mountains. Okay, and what happened? The Quraysh, they set up near the spring, and they took the better area because obviously they came there first. And
They stationed there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stationed a little bit further away from them. Okay. And obviously the Muslims didn't have no source for water now, no suitable place to camp as well. And the Badr, the place of Badr, if anybody's been, is very sandy. It's very difficult to walk on. The feet, whenever you try to walk, would sink to the ground. And you can see from this picture as well, in terms of how the terrain is at this moment in time. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help came, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned. And the rain, in the way of rainfall first, so the rain made the ground hard, and it was easy to walk on. The Muslims then made some holes, and they used the holes to collect the rainwater, and they used this for ghusl and wudu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this as well, how the rainwater was sent from the sky, so that you may purify yourselves with it. And this water, obviously, even the non-Muslims could use this water. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed them to use it as well as such. So water, they used it, and the non-Muslims used it as well. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Ali, Zubair ibn Awam, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, and some other Sahaba to see what the Quraysh were doing, just to find out. When they got there, they came upon two Qurayshi slaves. Okay, and at that point, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting Salah. So the slaves, they were asked that, what are you doing here? So they said that we'd come to collect water for the Quraysh. So the Sahaba didn't believe them. And after asking them more questions, they said that we were the companions of Abu Sufyan. When they heard this, the Sahaba left them alone. Rasulullah ﷺ finished his salah, and he said that these two men, when they said the truth to you, you started to press them even further. And when they lied, you let them go. They are the Quraysh's men, and they've come to collect water for them. Rasulullah ﷺ asked them that, brought them back, and asked them that where the Quraysh were, and they said that they were behind the mountain, and in another narration they said that they were behind a dune. Okay, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them that how many they were. They said there was a lot. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how many? They said, we don't know the number. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them that, okay, how many camels are slaughtered? So at this point, to feed the army, they said that 9 and sometimes 10. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then estimated that there was between 900 to 1,000 men. So these were the Qurayshi leaders that were there, that had come to the battle of Badr. And then when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, that these were the leaders that had come, and there were many others as well, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Makkah today has thrown its liver towards you. And this was the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found out about the Quraysh. The morning came, okay, the morning came, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made preparation for battle. A little tent was built where there's a masjid now called Masjid al-Arish in Badr. And this was for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu's opinion, this was. And from this place, the whole battlefield could be seen. Okay. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent the night praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the night before the battle. Okay. And at this point, when Fajr time came, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the Sahaba. They gathered together. Rasulullah sallallahu read the Salah. He encouraged the Sahaba. It was the 17th of Ramadan. Okay. On one side, there were the forces of truth. On the other side, the forces of falsehood. Rasulullah sallallahu straightened the rows of the Sahaba. And the Quraysh also prepared their battle lines. And this was to be the night of the battle. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made specific dua on this night. The whole night. So his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the best of the best. So even though the battle was going to take place and there was physical strength needed, there was also the spiritual strength. And this is the reality that we need to work on as well, our spiritual strength. In terms of, we have physical strength, we mashallah teach, we mashallah take part in halaqah in the masjid, we go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time though, for it to be effective, we need to have spiritual strength as well. And this can be developed by our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can improve. And the illnesses of the heart that we have. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was completely clean and he had no sins. But we as the makhluq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, human beings, we have the sin, many sins. So we need to concentrate. And our aqidah is that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is free of sin, and he was completely free of sin. And this was the speciality of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, given to him solely. But we need to realize how much we need to make sure that we make dua to Allah Ta'ala. How much we connect with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and ask from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So, this was the, now, the how the army had set up. So, Quraysh army on one side from the south, the Muslims on the other side, okay? The swords, the spears, the archers, the cavalry. There was only two people in the cavalry. And then we have how the duels that took place before. Okay, so when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, he went to the, saw the army as well. Okay, and he observed the army, and there was a story of he went to his tent. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh stood by the door. Ghamir ibn Wahab was sent to check the Muslim army. Now he was from the Quraysh. He came to check. He went to see far and wide as well to see if there was any reinforcements. He also said that don't fight, okay? But they didn't listen, okay? They didn't. Some of them agreed, but the others didn't agree, okay? They didn't agree. And then there were some others who, Abu Jahl and Amir ibn Hadrami, whose brother had been killed as well. He was the one who was killed in Nakhla, the initial ghazawa that took place. So he wanted revenge. So he was also encouraging people to fight. And in the end, they remained to take part in the war. Then we had the story of Sawad. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sawad radiallahu anhu, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam straightened the battle lines, he was poking just to make sure that the battle lines were straight and making sure everybody was straight. So when he came past Sawad radiallahu anhu, he poked Sawad radiallahu anhu, and at this point he said that some distress was caused to him. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I want justice, I want retribution. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed him, he lifted his garment, Sawad radiallahu anhu embraced him, and he kissed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he embraced Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that maybe this is our last meeting. Okay? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was amused by what happened, and he made dua for Sawad radiallahu anhu. This was the love that the Sahaba had for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, before we talk about the duels initially that took place between one another, and how was the custom that a few people would come from one side and a few people would come from the other side, there was a person by the name of Afra radiallahu anha. She was a very special woman. The reason being that she was someone, Hafiz Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala mentions that she was one sahabiya who was the mother of Auf and Mu'awid. Okay? And she has a special quality that no other person had, which was, she was first married to Harith, from whom she had three sons, Auf, Mu'awid, and Mu'ad. And then she married Bakir ibn Abd Yalail. And she had four sons. And all of her sons, so all of her seven sons, so including the Yas, Aqil, Khalid, and Amir, and the other three sons, all of them took part in the Battle of Badr. So in terms of the tarbiyah that she must have done of her sons, must have been something, in terms of the fact that they were willing to spend time with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and so forth. So as parents as well, we have a responsibility to do tarbiyah of our children as well. Be worried about the tarbiyah of our children, in terms of what are they doing, how are they living. Okay, so initially now, When the duels took place, Walid ibn Utbah, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, who initially didn't want to fight, Shaybah ibn Rabi'ah, all of them, they came out. Okay? And the Muslims, Auf ibn Harith, Mu'awid ibn Harith, and Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhum, all of them came out. They were all Ansari. So when they came out, the three people from the Quraysh said, "Who are you? We don't know you." And they said that, "We are three Ansari Sahaba, we are from the Ansar." So they said that, no, we want to fight with somebody who is from us, from the Quraysh. So then, at that point, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ubaidah ibn Harith, and Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib to come forward. And there was a, Utbah was with, had to fight one-to-one with Ubaidah. And then,
Shayba ibn Rabi'ah fought with Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, and then Walid ibn Utbah fought with Ali ibn Abi Talib. So initially, when Ali and Hamza radiallahu anhuma, they won their duels, the third duel, which was between Ubaidah and Utbah, Ubaidah was injured slightly, and after a lot of back and forth, Ali ibn Abi Talib and Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, they went and helped Ubaidah to finish off Utbah, and then Ubaidah was wounded and blood was flowing from his legs, and he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was carried to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am I a shaheed, am I a martyr? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that yes. At that point, according to some narrations, Ubaidah was 62 years old when he was martyred. So then after the battle began, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw the small numbers of his beloved Sahaba and the large number of his enemies, he saw the lack of weapons that the Muslims had, and he saw the armor on his army, the weaponry that they had, the strength of the enemy, and then he performed 2 rakat salah and started to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a narration in Muslim, Sahih Muslim, whereby the Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala narrates that on the day of Badr, نظر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى المشركين وهم ألف وأصحابه 319 رجلا فاستقبل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم القبلة ثم مد يديه. The Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he saw the enemy and he saw the Muslims, then he stood towards the Qibla and he spread out his hands and he started to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, you have promised me, accomplish for me, Allahumma أنجز لي ما وعدتني. You have accomplished for me what you have promised me. Allah, give me what you have bring about what you have promised me. And if the this group of the Muslims is destroyed, there will be nobody. You will not be worshipped on this earth. So he had this worry and concern about the Sahaba. He had the worry and concern. So he turned towards Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. First and foremost, he turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the whole narration goes on that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. Okay. In one narration, Ibn Ishaq rahimahullah ta'ala mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell asleep when he was supplicating. And after a short while, while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up, he said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that, Abshir ya Aba Bakr, ataka nasrullah. That glad tidings to you, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Allah's help has come to you. And then he said that this is Jibreel alayhi salam. He's holding the anana farsihi, meaning he's holding the rein of the horse, and there is dust on his teeth. Okay. And this was denoting to the fact that the angels came to help. And the path of the angels was from behind the army of the Muslims. Initially 1,000 were sent, then 3,000, and then 5,000. And this was the path. And we may be thinking that why were the angels sent? The reason was that Shaitan, he had come with his army to help the mushrikeen in the form of Suraqah ibn Malik. So his army came. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi salam, and Israfil alayhi salam with the army of the angels. And this was the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to help the Sahaba. And we live in the alam asbab, where cause and effect as such. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the angels to support the Sahaba and in their droves. And this is the reality of the world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the rule of the world. So displaying the laws of the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show in terms of the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, some narrations also mentions how the angels, they came on horses. Okay, they came on horses and they were ablaq, meaning they were black and white. They were black and white, like we can see on the slide. And then there's also mention of the turbans, that the yellow turbans that were worn by the angels. Some mention that they were white. Some mention that they were black. They were wearing amama. Okay, this is also mentioned in this narration, and how they helped the Muslims. Okay, this is a narration of Muslim. And then we have
how the first martyred were Mihja and Harith ibn Suraqa radiallahu anhu, who were the first to be martyred. Okay, they were the first to be martyred. And there is also mention of the fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came out and he encouraged the army. Okay, encouraged the army to such a degree that some of the Sahaba, one Sahabi, when he heard this encouragement from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Umayr ibn Hammam radiallahu anhu, he had some dates in his hand and he was busy eating them. So as soon as he heard the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he threw the dates and he went and he was martyred. So this was the zeal that the Sahaba had. Abu Jahl rallied the troops on their side. He then also made dua to Allah Ta'ala that he wanted victory as well. He made dua that give victory to the one who is the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam commanded Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to throw some dust at the face of the mushrikeen. Okay? And this is alluded to in the Quran, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. Again, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came that the dust reached the whole army of the Quraysh. And he made it difficult for them and put them into disarray. We've already mentioned about Umayyah ibn Khalaf that he had been informed about his demise. So Bilal radiallahu anhu spotted Umayyah and he told the Ansar, and Bilal radiallahu anhu was that Sahabi that we know he went through a lot of difficulty, and Umayyah, at the hands of Umayyah had been the cause of the hardship and the torture. So he was the one who used to put the boiling stones on Bilal radiallahu anhu. So what happened was Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, he used to be Umayyah's friend in the days of ignorance. So he thought that, you know, this was my friend. Let me protect him so he may maybe get hidayat. So he did try to protect him, but the Ansar and Bilal radiallahu anhu got to him and they finished him off, and he was also killed in this battle by the Muslimin, as was foretold by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? This was foretold by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was the prophecy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that came true. There was also the death of Abu Jahl, in the sense that Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he was between two youngsters. And Abu Jahl, the two boys saw Abu Jahl, and both of them, Mu'adh and Mu'awidh, they saw the sons of Afra that we already mentioned, and they went and they knew that Abu Jahl would say bad things about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they finished off Abu Jahl. And this was the end of his life as well. Okay? And one of them, Mu'awidh, he passed away. Mu'adh was the one who survived. After the battle, Rasulullah asked for the news of Abu Jahl. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud went to look for him and found that there was a little bit of life in him. Again, he was really proud. He was still proud. He still had pride in him. And he was very, very proud in terms of, you know, the way he answered. Okay? He said that, you know, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, it mentions that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud sat on his chest. Abu Jahl opened his eyes. He said, "O goat herder, you are sat on a high place," because he was sat on him. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that, "All praises to the one who gave me the ability." Abu Jahl then asked who won the battle. So he said that Allah and his messenger. Then he asked, "What's your intention?" I said that to put an end to matters. He said, "This is the sword. Use this. It's very sharp. If you fulfill your wishes very quickly and make sure you remove my head near from my shoulders, so the people will be able to see me. And when you go to Rasulullah ﷺ, send him this message that in my heart, the enmity and hatred I had for him yesterday is even more today." So this was the amount of pride that he had, Abu Jahl, even at the time of his death. Rasulullah ﷺ said when he heard about this, he found out that Abu Jahl had been killed. Then he said the takbir, and he said that this person was my people's Fir'aun. So this was something that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called him, the Fir'aun of this ummah. So this was something to think about as well. Then we have Ukasha radiallahu anhu, one miracle that took place where Ukasha radiallahu anhu, he was fighting very bravely until his sword broke. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him a stick, and as soon as he took it, it became a sword in his hand, and then he fought with this, and this sword was called Al-Aun. And he continued to use his sword until he was martyred. Now the battle had been won. 70 people from the Quraysh army had fallen. They'd been killed. 70 people had been taken prisoners. Some of the Sahaba, 14 companions were martyred in the battle of Badr. And if we go to Badr today, we'll see just outside the place, the Maqbara, the place where they are buried, you'll see the names. So these are the names of the Badriyin Sahaba who were martyred there. 24 Quraysh leaders were killed. They'd fallen on this day. They were thrown into a well. Initially, obviously, we know that this was a mission to protect the caravan. And it ended in total defeat. And then the Quraysh returned to Makkah Mukarrama. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted victory to the Muslims and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from the whole battle of Badr, there are many, many lessons that we can take. One of the most important lessons is that it doesn't matter how big the army is or how strong the army is, if the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, then they will gain victory. So initially, anything that happens with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we need to take away today in terms of the battle of Badr, or the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that we need to establish our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever we want anything, whenever we have a problem, initially what we should do is not look for the solution. Initially, there is only one solution. The initial solution is we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We raise our hands, make dua, supplicate, ask for guidance, ask for help, and then we take the means. Just like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. He came to the Badr with what he could. But he made dua, he stood in prayer, he asked for help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'aliman lillah, to guide us as well. That we know as well what to do as well then. So this is something that's very important. Whenever we have an issue, two rakah salah, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, with yaqeen, with belief that my dua will get accepted, and then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. And also we learn the sacrifices of the Sahaba. How much, bravery it took initially. These were the early days of Islam in terms of where they were in Medina Munawwara, there were threats from everywhere. And we are indebted to them. Because if it wasn't for their sacrifices, then maybe we wouldn't have iman today. So they made these sacrifices, so we need to try and follow their life. We need to try and understand their life. We need to try and emulate them, learn about them, and try to bring their life into try to bring the lessons in their life into our life. And also, we need to build our connection with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the month of Rabiul Awwal. We have our seerah program once a month throughout the year, and we should have this connection with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout the month. If this month acts as a catalyst for us then to develop our relationship with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a very good thing. But it shouldn't just be that this month is the only month that we have connection with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we forget about him in the rest of the months. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to implement the sunan and the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our life. Ameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi.